right, we're going to continue in Ephesians. This will be part two of the message on the church, the body of Christ. So our text is Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 22 and 23 again. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, this reveals the great value of the church, the body of Christ, how essential it is in the will and purpose of God. And you remember what the Lord Jesus told his disciples as he first mentions the church in Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock, he says, I will build my church. Okay, now here he refers to the church as his body. Well, we think of a body, we think of a physical body. Well, it is a unit, one body, but it is made up of many excellent members, which reveals the wisdom of God, the Creator. My, this reveals the greatness of the wisdom of God in this body, how important it is. The human body has many members which work together as one, that is, as each part fulfills the important function. See, there are many members. Now, I don't know. I guess some of these physicians can tell us how many different members there are in the human body, but we know that there are many and all have a unique function, don't they? So, the spiritual body, that is the body of Christ, the church, has many members. So, each member is essential. To think of how many members there is in the body of Christ, which is worldwide. And for how many ages has it been? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we look at how essential each member is. This is one thing that the members, the believers, must realize. Added to the church, for what purpose? God obviously has a purpose. So there ought to be a concern for this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So it's interesting that he uses this, the body is the illustration of the church, for this is something that we can understand a little bit about, how many members there are of the body and how different they are. And the Apostle Paul, we won't go into that, but in Corinthians, as he tries to explain this to the Christians there in the church of Corinth, he's trying to show that one member doesn't take the place of the other one. The eyes and the ears are different. The hands and the feet are different. They all have a particular function. They're all essential, aren't they, to do their particular work. So, each member, then, that's put in the body, as God designed it, is able to function. in the human body, that is, the members able to function to accomplish what God designed it to do. That's the interesting thing about God's wise creation. So each member of the body of Christ has a gift for function. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now this is for each one. And back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So each member then is essential to all the other members. Now, we can understand that by the function of the human body. Isn't each member valuable? I won't take the time to go through and describe all the function of these members, but, you know, one thing, you know, the eye can look upon the food and so on, and sometimes, somehow it responds, it creates an appetite, and then we taste it, it's delicious, and so on. So we can see how important those members are. And so, to each one for the profit of all. And over in verse 11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He will. Now this shows of God's deep concern and plan that in the body of Christ, each member will be supported, designed to function in the body, which one day is going to be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. And let's look at verse 18 there in chapter 12. It says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as it pleased Him. Now, isn't that interesting? That God would, we look at ourselves and say, you mean God was pleased to put me in there? Well, that's amazing to me, yeah, that He would want to put each one of us in the body of Christ. Now, the important thing is, too, is are we aware of the gift of God, and are we prepared to function as a member of the body? And over in chapter 14 and verse 12 we read, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the identification of the church that you seek to excel. Paul encouraging these Corinthians, these believers who had spiritual gifts, that they were zealous for spiritual gifts. That is, zealous for that which will enable us to function as we ought in the body. And notice that, and let it be for edification of the church. Edification? That is, building up and encouraging and so on. So an assembly can function at its highest spiritual efficiency when each member responds to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, yeah, there are the gifts, all right. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 now. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4, we read, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them then. Just use these gifts right as He has given. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wow. Now we know how that in our bodies, as we've mentioned earlier, that all this is a variety of members, but each one is important in the body and in the body of Christ. These members that have received the gift says are to minister to one another. Have we thought about ministering to one another? Well, this morning, the word love was mentioned several times. Love for the brethren. Now, the Apostle John had much to say about love. As a matter of fact, what do we see in John 3:16? What does that say? For what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, John has a lot to say about love in his writing as the Holy Spirit guides him. And we get over to 1 John's epistle, and he talks about how important the love of the brethren is. And is that kind of love where we minister to one another? Is to serve one another the best that we can to be of help. So, it's indisputable that every Christian has a special God-given enablement for service. So, let's look at some of these spiritual gifts then, the provisions that God has made. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And He Himself gave some to the apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What a beautiful description Paul gives here, showing how that God has, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, has made provisions for the growth of the church and for edifying of it in love. So, love should be a very definite and outstanding feature in every member of the body of Christ. So here we see these very spiritual gifts, and among these we find actually what is called the foundation gifts, which are very, very important. The foundation gifts, what are they? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 we read, Paul says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together with for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So here we see, and we can very quickly agree, I'm sure, that we should be very thankful for the apostles and prophets. That is, those who laid the foundation. For how many were later built on that foundation? Well, he describes those who were built on that foundation. So the apostle was a tremendous gift, as he had not only seen the risen Christ, but that was one of the things of the apostles, that they had seen the Christ, says, but had been personally commissioned by the Lord of the church, not just commissioned by men. So that tells us how important, really, the apostleship is. It's not something that man decided they wanted to make. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." So where did these apostles come from? They came from the Lord. The apostle means one sent. And so they were sent from the Lord and commissioned. So the essence of the apostles' gift was the reception of divine revelation, that is, revelation from God. And his ministry was in establishing churches. Who were those foundation layers? The apostles and the prophets. So as we saw here in verse 2 and verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So, we see their very important place that they had. And, well, he mentioned the prophets. We can remember who prophets were back in the Old Testament. Lots of prophets back there. They were men who received some information from God, direction, teaching, that they might expound it. Aren't we glad to read about that? But there are prophets here of the New Testament. So the prophets were men who received revelation from the Lord and proclaimed them to the church. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. "And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Jerusalem." Now, this shows the real act of this man who was called a prophet. It was revealed to him, and he was able to testify what was coming up. And notice he says that that it, according to each, is built and determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And so, also in Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 21 and verse 10, "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So here was something revealed then to this prophet of what was going to happen to the Apostle Paul. Well, that was interesting and helpful. And so here we see that these prophets were ministering by the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what led them, and what a blessing it was. Well, and then Ephesians 4, you notice there that Paul said, "And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets," and apostles and prophets were the foundation, "but he said, and some evangelists." Some evangelists, what is that gift in evangelist? Well, an evangelist is one who is gifted to proclaim the gospel. Gospel, you know, good news. That is the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost. Well, do we have any examples in the New Testament of this? Well, yes. Again, we'll look in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. "On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him." So here it describes Philip as an evangelist. Well, were there any other evangelists mentioned that we know of in the Scriptures? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. What does Paul say to Timothy? "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." The work of evangelist? Declaring the gospel. That is, preaching to the lost. So, other gifts as he goes down the lines, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Now, what is this pastor? I think there are some misunderstandings of the pastor today. There's a lot of churches that will hire one man and they call him the pastor, and there's no others in the church. But actually, the pastor is an elder. I remember a few years ago, when we started the meeting here, I don't remember who it was now, but I mentioned something about the new meeting here, and someone said, "How many pastors are you the pastor?" I said, "Well, not the only one. We have, I think I said two others. Three pastors?" He said, "Well, how can a new church afford three pastors?" In other words, we wondered how we could hire three men. And so they were surprised when I explained that to them. I've forgotten now who that was. So the pastor is really a shepherd who guides and feeds the flock of the Lord. The Lord's explained that. And again, back in Acts chapter 20, Let's look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So here we see this pastor is referred to as a shepherd and an overseer of the flock. Let's look at another passage in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, Peter says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, nor for dishonest gain, but eagerly. What a description here for the overseers and their function. So now he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. All right, well, who are the teachers? What does it say about them? Well, teachers are those who know the Word of God and are gifted to clearly expound the Scriptures, expound the Word of God. So, this is one of the great blessings in the church, isn't it? It's interesting to see how that in various places when the believers are well taught in the Word, how that they develop, and some are given gifts for teaching. Now, this is amazing. This is one of the amazing things to us on the foreign field in the Philippines. Some of those dear brethren over there, that became teachers and preachers. And one of the young men in our meeting down on Mindoro there, Arnolfo Barrios, he was one of our students. He'd attend our Bible classes and so on. And finally, when he graduated from college, he became a school teacher. He was transferred to another little island over there. And in an elementary school, he was the teacher at school. And he did so. He was over there 11 years. And also, he established a church while he was over there. He was quite a teacher. And when they transferred him back to the island of Mindoro later on, he became the principal of the elementary school in that town. And he advanced considerably in the field of education. But he kept on in his preaching and teaching, and it's amazing how it's grown and how they started some other congregations out from around that. And that's one of the encouraging things we see in various places. And up in the area around Manila where the assemblies are up there, that's one of the things that was really encouraging to us when we were back over there in 95 and 96, in those assemblies there, to see how that those brethren had grown in the Word and were given over to ministering the Word, and a lot of them continuing in the teaching. That's a great blessing. That's one reason I'd like to go back over there, but I'm not sure I'm able to get back up. Some people think I'm getting too old to go back over there. Well, they may be right. Well, there's some other gifts that are mentioned here. Let's look in Romans. Romans chapter 12. There's some more gifts mentioned here. beginning in verse 6, Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Prophecy? Paul valued this prophecy as a tremendous gift. He said in verse 7, for ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Well, what about this gift of prophecy? Well, that's important, isn't it? Very important. How many of us like the prophecy that's revealed in the Word and those whom God has given, gifted, to declare the prophecy? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Then in verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Well, isn't prophecy that? Prophecy is that which is future. When we look into that, what is our blessed hope? What does it reveal? Prophecy reveals. It talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus and what all is going to happen in the future, what will take place. And that's really encouraging. It encourages us to delight in the coming of the Lord Jesus. So I've always enjoyed, way back when I remember years ago, some of those teachers that taught a lot on prophecy. I knew one brother in Louisville who was an excellent preacher and teacher. He did quite a bit on prophecy. He was premillennial. Boy, though he was preaching the truth, there was a lot who came down hard on him, saying he was in error because these fellows who were in amillennialists, they were opposed to the premillennialists. So here we see in Romans chapter 12 that gift of prophecy that Paul had much value on, but notice there he also mentions in verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation, what, exhortation is a gift? That's to encourage brethren through problems. Now, how many have that gift? If there are those members that may be having some various problems, is there anybody to help, to encourage them through some of these problems? Well, that's what exhortation is all about. Well, he mentioned, there's another one he mentions there. After that, it says, he who gives with liberality. Giving? Well, he says that that is a gift. So giving must be on a spiritual basis. That is, in the name of the Lord. And those with this gift will be guided by the Holy Spirit that the gifts might be in the right way, in the right place, and we might say the right amount. And then also he says, he who leads with diligence. He who leads with diligence. Who is this in the leadership? We've read already some of those portions about that. He who leads. Who are these who do the leading? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, we read, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So Paul here is referring to the work of elders as leaders. And I think in the King James Version use has rule, and then instead of leading, it does have the word rule. Well, let's say that's oversight, isn't it? So you know who it's talking about. It's definitely talking about elders. So then in Hebrews chapter 13, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, we read, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And then down to verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So that is quite a responsibility, isn't it? These who have this oversight. But he's suggesting that there be a submission to them. And he says, "For they watch out for you, your souls, as those who must give an account." So, that's a great responsibility to the elders, to the shepherds, to the overseers. So, he gives quite a list of gifts, and they're important. He describes the importance of the function of these gifts. And so the illustration he uses, the picture is one that should show us how important the members of the body are. They're very important. Each one is important. So in the body of Christ, this should encourage all believers to say, "Oh, as a member of the church, as a member of the body of Christ, I really need to function as I am." Okay. So, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for your precious word that reveals the glorious truths of your plans and purposes. We're thankful, Holy Father, for this design of spiritual gifts and functions. And we're thankful for what you've revealed concerning the church, the body of Christ. And we're thankful for the Lord's coming someday, perhaps soon, that when he shall appear, he shall gather his own unto himself. And we're thankful for a blessed time that we'll have throughout eternity with our Savior, who is head of the church. So again, we thank you for your word and ask your blessing that we as members of the body may function as we ought to help us understand and to use the gifts which you have given. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.